Every sip of Coca-Cola brings you closer to the excitement of the FIFA World Cup 26. Because nothing compares to the joy. So grab a Coke and drink in the FIFA World Cup 26. No purchase necessary. 13 plus in 50 U.S. states and D.C. with a web-enabled device. Ends March 1st with 8 entry periods. Rules at cokeurl.com/soccer rules.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Shaheed to the end zone, 95 yards.
And Denver's going to the AFC Championship game.
Touchdown, Patriots.
It's gone.
Rams win it.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Man, this show could be 6 hours long, and it wouldn't be enough to talk about what's going on over the weekend or preview what could happen tonight between Indiana and Miami for the national championship. What a weekend of football it's already been. And there's another one tonight. Chris Fowler, who's calling tonight's game, is on tomorrow's program. We'll also chop it up with two-time Super Bowl champion none other than Chris Long back on the program. And then at this point tomorrow, we're going to talk with Jordan Palmer, the quarterback guru himself, who I believe does have a history with Jared Stidham. So he's on tomorrow's program. We already just chopped it up with Tom Pelissero. There's also the Overreaction Monday podcast that's out there, closing in on six figures of views in just a couple of hours. People love football, love chomping it up. We appreciate that. 844-204-RICH. Being the number to dial back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a Monday spot, because we knew there'd be so much to talk about as Fox Sports and multiple Super Bowl champion, three-time champ, ladies and gentlemen, Denver Bronco great Mark Schlereth. Good to see you, Mark. How are you, brother?
Doing great. I am doing great. How are you, Rich?
Your best guess on Sean Payton, what he's doing right now, Mark?
Working. Like grinding, looking at, you know, it's interesting. I asked Sean this several years ago when I started calling games. I said, hey, man, I just want to pick your brain. And just about game planning and how you go about executing a game plan and all those things. He said, you know, as a young coach, oftentimes I would see a weakness of the defense and I just want to attack that weakness. I just want to go after that weakness, you know, damn the consequences. And he goes, as you mature as a coach, you look at a weakness of a team, a defense, and you say, hey, man, I'm going to attack that only if it doesn't expose a weakness on my team. And so my first responsibility is to mitigate my own weaknesses. My second responsibility is to attack the weaknesses of the defense. And so in regards to Jared Stidham, like he is going to put Jared Stidham in a position to win football games. And you look at what he did with Teddy Bridgewater when Teddy Bridgewater started five games in place of Drew Brees. And then also looking to when he had Jameis Winston as his starting quarterback. And, you know, we talked about that 30 interceptions, you know, 39 total turnovers, the 30 TD season. And Sean was just like, man, I will never put Jameis Winston in a position to throw 30 interceptions because, you know, I understand what that's going to do to us. So he is grinding right now to put Jared Stidham in a position to accentuate his strengths and to mitigate some of his weaknesses and put them in the best position to win a football game. That's what he's doing.
And I thought what he said, you know, like watch out, when he said yesterday, when he went back to the podium to say that Bo Nix was out and that Stidham's going to be ready, you know, watch this, watch out, essentially, that he was talking to Stidham in the locker room through the media. Yes, no, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's got, first off, you know, he went out and got Stidham, paid Stidham, you know, redid their contract. Like, this is a guy that he has believed in. This is a guy that he wanted as that backup to Bo Nix, a guy that he has believed in for quite some time. And so, you know, they've got 3 years together in this offense. And I will tell you, and I know it's only training camp, right? And I know it's preseason. And the preseason games notwithstanding, because the preseason games, as we all know, are fairly vanilla and you're trying to manage guys and not get anybody hurt. But in those joint practices, Stiddy was awesome. And that's where the majority of the work gets done in today's NFL is you get these joint practices. They had one, I think, against San Francisco in San Fran. They had one against Arizona here in Denver. I was at that one. And Stiddy played exceptionally well and probably played better than Bo Nix in the preseason and in that kind of competitive environment. So obviously he's probably not the scrambler athlete that Bo Nix is, but Stidham is he's a good player. There's no question.
Well, I mean, you need him to be great. This is the AFC Championship game, and the Patriots have a quarterback who's playing great. When you know, obviously Drake May having some fumbleitis that the Patriots have been able to get through because May also makes throws like the one to Diggs for a touchdown and certainly the one to Keyshawn Booty over Derek Stingley Jr. to make the plays. And the defense has been balling out. So what do you think Stidham's going to look like against this Patriots defense, having seen what they did to C.J. Stroud on Sunday, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I think he'll be okay. The thing that really gets kind of caught in the wash is this Broncos team has been based upon this great defense under Vance Joseph. I thought this defense got out schemed, they got out played, they got out executed, they got out physical, if you will. And ultimately, you know, we sit there and say nationally, you know, oh, Josh Allen, and you know, we see that McDermott gets fired and all this stuff, but I thought Josh Allen played one of his worst football games. He missed three or four touchdown passes in that game. That game, they could have hung 50 on Denver's defense. They didn't have a plan to stop Cook. The running back just ran roughshod through them at, I don't know what it was, 6-7 yards a carry. They never really adjusted on the pitch play. And I thought they did a phenomenal job of they controlled and they dealt with the crowd noise in Denver. And I was at the stadium, man. And it was, I mean, you want to talk about loud and obnoxious. It was incredible what the Denver Broncos, you know, Broncos country did. But I thought the Buffalo Bills offense handled that crowd noise better than the Broncos defense. I thought the Broncos defense gave up multiple plays and made multiple mistakes from a communication standpoint that could have been the difference in that game. And, you know, and ultimately, like I said, I thought Josh Allen missed a couple of wide open touchdown passes, had a couple of balls picked that were, to me, were bad throws. So, or at least one was a bad throw. He had, I can't remember who it was, but it was PJ Locke that intercepted the ball. And I was standing with Peyton Manning and Peyton's suite. And he goes, man, you just got to throw that to the corner of the end zone. That's a touchdown every time. And so there was just different situations in that game where Josh just didn't play his best. I understand why he was emotional at the podium because he just really played for Josh Allen standards, a poor football game.
So what do you think's happening in his skull right now, now that Sean McDermott's out of a job? What do you think of all that, Mark?
Yeah, well, as you know, it's a results-based business. And if you don't win in those situations, and the national narrative was, hey, man, there is no, you know, there is no Lamar Jackson. There is no Mahomes. There is no Joe Burrow. This is your chance to skate right to, you know, the Super Bowl and get your team to the Super Bowl. And it's a results-based business. And, you know, I thought the most egregious call of the game was you get 16 seconds left in the second quarter. You take a knee. I'm sitting there at the stadium going, just take a knee, go in the locker room, regroup. And I tend to be more conservative, but I'm like, that's how you operate. And then all of a sudden he drops back, scrambles around, fumbles the football, and you give the Broncos an extra 3 points right there with, you know, 2-3 seconds left. I just thought that was an egregious call by Sean McDermott, and that was not managing the game. And I think one of the big things for Sean, and one of the reasons you're no longer employed, is because oftentimes you get these playoff games, and it's almost like we've got Superman as our quarterback. Just put it on him. Go do this. And that's a coaching decision, man. The quarterback doesn't get to make that play. You say, kneel on it. Let's get in the locker room and be down by 7 instead of going down by 10.
Interesting. Some fans would think it's a roster move because that's what the Bills have to do, that Allen's got to do it mostly by himself, even though Cook had a heck of a day, man. And that's part and parcel, as you pointed out, about that the Broncos defense was ridden quite a bit by the Buffalo Bills, which is another reason why, you know, you're wondering why let the coach go. I mean, it was just this, that, the other. You could be in the AFC Championship game going to New England right now.
Mark, yeah, you know? No question about it. But you look on the other side of that. You shut down the run. I mean, Bo Nix was the leading rusher for the Broncos. You shut down the run. They lost not one but two receivers. Pat Bryant was on his way. He had 3 catches in the first 4 plays. He was on his way. He gets a concussion. Troy Franken pulls his hammy, and you let Mims beat you. And oh, by the way, in that game, Courtland Sutton, your most reliable target, dropped a bunch of balls. So like that, there was a lot of reason to sit there and go, man, you are in charge of that defense. You're a defensive coach. And ultimately Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos, who were hamstrung on the offensive side of the ball, hung 30 on you. I understand, like I said, it's a results based business, and you know, whether you're coaching or playing, and I think we've all been there. You spend enough time in this league, you know, they'll let you know that, hey, you're not doing good enough. And I've been part of that conversation when I was in Washington, and, you know, and Norv Turner told me, hey, man, we don't think you can play anymore. And I remind Norv Turner every time I see him that he cut me, or no, that he didn't re-sign me and let me go into free agency. And he gave me the opportunity to go back-to-back championships and play another 6 years. So thanks, Norv. Love you, buddy.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. I gave Mike McDonald the kudos. What a great coaching move when your quarterback might not be able to throw, to just have your kickoff return man start the game with a touchdown. Brilliant move. Excellent execution on the game plan. And it started a boat race. Seattle had enough points in 13 seconds that they needed on all night, because that defense is a wagon. Are they the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now, based on everything, would you say?
Yeah, I think they've got to be. And boy, I tell you what, Rich, I got vibes. I've got Legion of Boom vibes with the ability to, like, they are incredible from the standpoint of they play a lot of, you know, a lot of zone match type of defense. And one thing that just blows me away about them is plays where you dump a ball off to a Christian McCaffrey or to a Tonjes or whoever, and you think, man, I'm going to dump this ball off, and Christian's going to spin inside, and it's going to go, you know, he's going to get an extra 3 or 4 yards, and it's going to be 2nd-and-3. And as soon as you throw that ball, man, they are on it as a defense. They're not missing tackles. You're getting zero leaky yardage against that defense. And now all of a sudden you think you're going to be in 2nd-and-3 and you're in 2nd-and-7. You're behind the chains. You're like, oh, shoot, here we go again. I thought Witherspoon was phenomenal. I just think that whole defensive back end, from the linebacking core to the safeties and the cornerbacks, all tackled exceptionally well. And here's one thing a coach told me years ago that always resonates with me. And it resonated with me. I had these visions of Super Bowl 48 when the Seahawks just absolutely bludgeoned my Broncos in the Super Bowl. And this coach said, watch special teams. Watch the depth that teams have on special teams and how they cover kicks and how aggressive they are. And I just watched Seattle open a can of whoop ass in the special teams department against the 49ers. They're just out hitting people. And it just goes to show you, like, that's the kind of depth you have when you watch special teams units just overwhelm the opponent. It points to the depth you have, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because most of those defensive players play the special teams units, especially the coverage units. So I just thought that defense and the way they played special teams and the way they ran the ball was special against the Niners.
Well, if they make the Super Bowl, they will have earned it, Mark, because not only do they win a division that has three 12-win teams in it, right, but they would also have had to have beaten the Niners and the Rams twice in order to make the Super Bowl, with the last two times being in playoff games, win or go home. So they will have earned it, because the Rams will be coming in feeling great about what just happened, winning in Chicago, stopping somehow Caleb Williams from his eighth game come from behind win of the season, absorbing maybe the throw of the year, which is kind of, you might have to remove maybe the way Caleb forced overtime. I give you the floor on that game in general, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the things that concern me about Sean McVay, and, you know, I know if you get the ode of McVay on you, you get a chance to get it, be a coaching job, but Lord have mercy. Your just forgetfulness to run the ball when you are exceptional at it. I think your O-line has been built that way. I think you run those 12 and 13 personnel packages. Nacua will absolutely hit people. Like, at times in that game, I'm just like screaming at the television, just run the freaking football. Like, Kyren Williams is getting 5, 8, 6 yards a crack. Just run the damn ball. And you're going three and out with three straight passes. Like, stuff like that drives me crazy. I think the other takeaway for me is, at what point are we going to start kicking field goals again? Like, at what point is that going to become the in vogue thing to do?
Never.
Because I look at that game and going, if you just kick field goals on fourth down when you're down, and like every time you reach the 30, I'm going, oh, here we are in the bypass field goal territory again.
No,
you know,
I'm with you, Mark. But you know, then you read about that the first two times they went for the Bears went for it on fourth down, they come away with 7 total points, which is one more than the 6 total points if they just went ahead and kicked the field goals. And so that's the analytics pushback, is that even though you're 1 for 2, you got 7. And if you said, screw it, I'm just going to go for field goals, you have 6. You actually emerged with one more point than playing for just the points that you're talking about, Mark.
Yeah, I get that, but I will also tell you from my perspective, here's where math, like, and I say this all the time, math has never made a tackle, it's never blocked anybody. And you have the analytics over the course of a year, right? But all of a sudden you've got weather. All of a sudden you've got a hard, slick ball. You got a quarterback. Both quarterbacks had jammed up fingers, right? Caleb Williams jammed his finger in the first series, I believe, right. And yeah. Matthew Stafford came in with a sprained finger. And, you know, both guys had some errant throws. And like, I just think points are a premium. And the one thing that analytics don't do for you is they don't assess the game situation, the weather, the field conditions a lot. It's just a lot of numbers. And at times, man, I just look at it like, man, playoff game, premium, take points, get yourself points, and we'll figure it out at the end if we have to go for it. But I get it. I get where the numbers come in. I just completely disagree with them wholeheartedly. I know one thing. Analytics has never blocked a 3 technique like Warren Sapp, who's breathing down your neck. I know that. So that's where I am with analytics.
Stink of Truth podcast with Mark Schlereth. But the Rams have all the weaponry, and defensively last night they stiffened up in a way that we haven't seen since weeks 1 through 12, which leads me to believe that this is going to be a dynamite NFC championship game. And just before we move on to the predicting of Super Bowl 60 from you, Mark, and as to who's making it, Caleb Williams, right? Like, he is, there's no question that there was a box checked by the Chicago Bears. Ben's the right guy as the coach, and Caleb's the right guy to connect to him, and vice versa, right?
Yeah,
no doubt.
I don't think there's any question. Right. Caleb's ability, he's only going to get better, you know, in normal downs. He's only going to get better, like off schedule. Like, that's where he's exceptional. That pass, I'm almost ridiculous. Crazy. I'm screaming at the television. You're giving up 25 yards. I'm going, come on, dude, you can't do that. Oh, yeah, boom, touchdown, perfect. Like, it's exactly how we planned it. It was remarkable. And so off schedule, I think the guy's as good as it gets in this league. He's athletic, unbelievable arm talent, all those things. And he just gets better and better and better on schedule. And he's just going to continue to get. And I know that's what Ben Johnson, I've talked to Ben Johnson, that's what they've worked on. He's getting better in that aspect of football. And that's part and parcel of playing college football, where, you know, you can just, like, you play at USC, our players are probably better than your players 9 out of 11 games that we play. And so I'll just hold on the ball and make something happen. And that's not the NFL. That's not how it's structured. You know, everybody gets to draft and everybody gets to put their team together. So he'll just continue to get better in that phase. That's where he lacked coming in. He got a lot better over the course of the season, a lot better from year to year. He looks the part. He looks special. There's no question.
No doubt about it. Mark Schlereth, who makes Super Bowl 60 at the end of the day on Sunday?
Well, you know what? I go into this thing knowing that Stidham's going to have to play. This defense has to play a lot better in Denver. I think this is going to be a really tight game. I'm hoping that Denver continues to be the kryptonite for the New England Patriots. They're 0-4 here lifetime when they have to play a playoff game. I'm banking on Sean Payton. I'm banking on this Denver defense to rebound. I'm taking Denver with trepidation. And then in the NFC Championship, I just think Seattle, their defense is so good, their ability to run the ball. I'm going to take Seattle to win the NFC Championship. It'll be Denver, Seattle, a rematch of Super Bowl 48, I believe.
All right, and I'm sure you won't bring that up to the person who might host you for the AFC Championship game in his suite, Mark, at the end of the day. I imagine I caught that. Yeah. We all caught that name drop, that suite drop. What's the catering like in Peyton's suite for a game?
It's tremendous. It's absolutely tremendous. And, you know what's really fun? You always kind of look at the game through the lens that you played it, Rich, you know, so it's where you tend to focus. And sitting with Peyton,
You get your own Manning cast.
Yeah, you're just like sitting there watching him, like, oh, they're in cover two man right here. I go to, you know, this guy, like, you're just like, dude, I wish I could see it that fast. Like, I can figure out what the coverage is when I rewind it 6 times, you know, on the coach's tape, but not when I'm standing there watching them snap the football. So he's remarkable. Really cool just to be able to pick his brain during the football game. It was a lot of fun, man. I had a blast.
What's the catering? What do we got?
I didn't eat anything while I was in there because I wanted to invite back. Like, I didn't want to like be just housing food in there. Smart. But they had prime rib, they had drinks, they had everything.
Dessert cart, little dessert cart.
Oh, dessert cart, no question about it. I mean, it was well done. Well done.
Mark Schlereth, everybody. Thanks for the time, bud. We'll have you on next week as always. Thanks, sir.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
Stinkin' Truth Podcast with Mark Schlereth. Everybody check it out. And obviously, we greatly appreciate Mark's friendship here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Peyton sees it pre-snap. Can you imagine if he played with Marshall Faulk for longer?
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's Marshall. The two of them together.
Yeah, just like, bam. Wait, how did you see that?
Marshall, I've never watched a game with anybody who can see it before it happens. Yep. You witnessed it?
Sure, over and over.
They would break the huddle and go, this is interception. I'm like, how do you know that? Like, and then it happens. And you're like, what the hell?
You guys act like Tony Romo doesn't exist and doesn't.
I know, but this is a different level, sir. This is a different level.
Yeah.
TJ?
I don't know. Here we go.
Let's take a break. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show. You have your phone calls.
Richie?
We'll talk about the Patriots.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? it feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. So you just heard what Pat Bryant went out. He went out with a concussion. And
early, yeah.
You know, and Bo Nix is out. So and Troy Franklin hurt his hamstring. So Jared Stidham might not have his two top receivers. Bo Nix might not be there. And if you told me that before the season, I'm like, oh, they must be playing the Patriots next.
You know what? I really don't like this narrative.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. New England's only going to have the first ever quarterback to
bitter
never throw a pass in a regular season game, make his first start of the season in a championship game. Oh, my goodness. I've been saying that for weeks, and you're like, that's not true. And then the most remarkable break any team potentially could receive happens. But.
Oh, sorry. You guys forget about the helmet catch?
No.
Like, what are we talking about?
No.
That was skill, though.
I will say this. Please hear me out, okay? What the Patriots are doing right now is their most remarkable run since Brady's first year as the starter. Yeah, and I know I'm talking about there was an undefeated season that was going down in the Super Bowl. And that's an incredible run with 50 touchdowns from Brady and gajillions by Randy Moss and, you know, the modern-day Lombardi dialing it all up. That was an incredible run. But what they're doing now, you know, with a coach in Vrabel making this team believe and love one another and be there for each other, week by week by week, they get stronger. They get stronger. And even the adversity, they soak it in and they get stronger. It's unreal. They 100% have belief, and rightfully so. And even when it's not going their way, like I said, it makes them stronger. And Drake May is the avatar for that. This kid has got guts and grit. And he's just a sweetheart from, you know, Carolina up there in New England, smiling his way through the snowflakes and the fumbles and the lack of protection. And just, I mean, there was one point where they couldn't move the ball a lick, and three passes later, they're in the end zone for a touchdown, including one threading a needle to Stephon Diggs, who rightfully looked at his hands afterwards like, yeah, I'm him. How the hell did he hold on to that? You know, May is wearing Will Anderson Jr. for a living, Danielle Hunter for a living, and still hanging in there.
Yeah, I thought May's number was 51 there for a second.
Holy cow. And the snow's coming down, and he fires one into Diggs. But even with all of the takeaways from the New England defense.
Only 7 points off of all those.
And one was a pick six.
And it was a gift.
Yeah. But the gift comes when you have a ferocious defense that is blitzing from depth and confusing the C.J. Stroud, who came into the game perhaps a little skittish because, again, he's without Nico Collins, but he also couldn't hold on to a snap in Pittsburgh. And the Texans take the lead 10-7, and get in CJ Stroud's face. And for whatever reason, he just moonballs it up in the air in a playoff game deep in his own end. It's like, what are you doing? And what he was doing was flipping the script, and the thing changed on the spot. It turbocharged the crazy train in Foxborough. Snow comes down even more, and the only points that come off of the turnovers was that pick six. And the May throw to Diggs was something. But game on the line, and they're just one touchdown away from a knockout punch. And I'm sitting there thinking, this touchdown's not coming. It's not coming because the Texans defense is showing up and showing out. And the touchdown's just not going to come. So it's going to have to be their rookie kicker maybe getting in field position to go up eight. And good luck to Stroud from scoring a touchdown and a two-point conversion against this defense. And then was it third down or fourth down?
It was a third down.
A third down.
Yeah, the Douglas touchdown was fourth.
Oh, okay. The third down throw that May connected on with Kayshon Boutte. It's got a low percentage chance for various reasons. One, it's snowing. Two, that's Derek Stingley Jr. covering Boutte, and he's a first-team All-Pro. This guy is as good as they come in the NFL, and May's like, screw it. I'm going to test him. Screw it. We got the play call. We got the coverage. One-on-one. I'm going to trust my guy, and I'm going to put it in a spot where not only Stingley can't get it, but damn near Booty's not going to be able to get it. And the only way he could get it was a one-armed grab. And he did it. And May connected to Boutte, and that was a knockout punch. Troy Aikman even said that could have been the knockout punch. He was right. Holy cow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's also unreal. Very similar to May's first career touchdown, which was 2 years ago against Houston. Same type of play. Go route on the right side to Boutte. Stingley.
No doubt. And it's
it was amazing.
It's one thing to do it in your first career start in week four of your first go around with Gerard Mayo and nothing really on the line except growing and maturing, as opposed to a divisional playoff game against the best defense in the NFL, most ferocious, decorated defense in the NFL, and saying, not today. Unreal. Spectacular. And that Christian Gonzalez is as good as they come. He's up there at Kyle Hamilton. He's making plays all over the place. And now they go to Denver. Mike Vrabel after the game about his quarterback.
We talk about not going in the blender, and I think it's hard. I mean, they put pressure on us, and we know that we got to take care of the ball. Drake knows that. But to be able to stay the course and to trust Kayshon and give him a great ball that, you know, it was him or nobody, and you know, those guys have kind of done that all year. Is when we needed a play, they've been able to do that for us.
Him or nobody, no doubt about it. I mean, that wasn't like, we're going to take our shot because the backup's in. That's the best cornerback in the game, arguably. Damn, man. Unreal. Well done. Drake May afterwards.
Season.
Look at him, all sleeveless and sweethearty. An assassin-y at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Not satisfied means we're back on the road. Back on the road in the AFC Championship game. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. So I'm just trying to, you know, enjoy these playoff wins. I think in the regular season when you come up with wins, you feel like you can play better. You kind of have this, you know, down mentality and just know that we made enough plays tonight. Obviously, I wish I had some plays back, but that's part of it. That's part of playing good teams in the playoffs. And proud of these guys for how we played. You know, keeps on being a defense picking us up when we need to, and special teams was huge. And so, like I said, just back on the road, and we got a tough opponent.
It's like he's played 15 years already.
Very poised.
Patriots undefeated on the road this
very
year.
Very much.
It's like he's played 15 years.
And then after the game, as you saw the video, he went out on the field and played in the snow with his brothers after the game.
Of course he did.
Cool.
Of course he did. He's so likable.
I tried to tell you guys.
Of course. Okay. It doesn't. Okay.
It was because it was.
Let's not go there anymore.
Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
That weird little head.
The only thing that's left is to go into Denver and play a guy with the fewest career starts in NFL history by a quarterback before starting a conference championship game out of the blue, just out of nowhere. It's all working. Oh boy.
Cry me a river.
Gus in Florida. Gus Ramsey. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. The guest line, please, sir. What's up, Gussie? You there,
Gus? Richard, how are we doing today?
You tell me, Gus. I was saying before, well, you know, with your Broncos and the Bills, I've never seen a playoff game where both fan bases were left gutted within moments after it was over, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking long and hard about it, and TJ can relate. The only other relation to this I have is when Andy Chavez made the catch against the Cardinals, and we were all convinced they were going to win Game 7, and then they didn't. So it's, yeah, I've rewatched the game twice already just to bring back kind of the joy of what that season is. I'd like to take a moment to talk to Chris and congratulate him and Patriot Nation, Patriot Province, Colony, whatever they call themselves, on their AFC championship.
Stop that, Gus. Get out of here.
At this point,
there's no reverse jinx here.
Let him go. Please. Sorry, Gus.
CBS has a programming window to fill, and Murder, She Wrote Marathon just isn't viable in 2026. So, you know, by the end of the week, the odds makers will move the decimal point one more place to the right. So congrats to Chris and all the Pats on their AFC championship, and enjoy the trip to California.
That's awful. Awful. Stop it. Also, you should know it opened 5.5. It's now 4.5.
Oh, really?
So, you know, Denver money's coming in, Gus. You
okay.
Know, you
I
know
think
this.
50.5. Just give it a little time. Rich, I have one scenario that could bring hope to Broncos fans.
Okay, Gus.
Imagine this.
Yes, sir.
Bo Nix is a big WWE fan. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying imagine that he is.
Okay.
He's on the sidelines before the game on Sunday with his crutches. They put the Jumbotron camera on him, and he slowly lets the crutches fall to the ground.
Oh.
He jogs up the tunnel to shoot up, and a la Seth Rollins, he is cashing in on Drake May and the sorry-ass Patriot.
Money in the bank.
Let's go.
Well done, Gussie.
Yes.
Thank you very much. The one and only Gus Ramsey. One of the greatest in the history of SportsCenter producing. And, of course, the man who runs Dan Patrick's School of Broadcasting. That's Gus bringing – that's next level, as he would say.
I'm telling you. It's funny. I just quickly watched the Chavez catch again, and, man, that was one of the greatest catches.
Oh, that was the catches unbelievable.
And of course, Seth Rollins, as we all know, the host of the Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire version of the Rich Eisen Show.
Sure. I think Seth really, really hates football right now is what I
– Oh, does he hate football again?
Imagine.
Yeah. Mm.
He shouldn't.
I love that everyone talks about the Patriots like they don't have a plus 200 point differential this year.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Well, I mean, who did they play this year, really, Chris? I mean, who did they play?
Doesn't matter. They weren't winning games in the fourth quarter like the Bears. They lambasted everyone all season.
Who did they really play?
Yeah.
But they did beat two winning teams in the playoffs, and they spanked them around.
Gave up one touchdown on a 27-yard drive.
Spanked them around.
Two playoff games. But no. So you guys still need to see more.
I don't know. Let's just see how, hopefully Denver will survive the week in practice.
They get
look both ways crossing the street. The Patriots are coming to town.
They get paid too. They're professionals also.
This is so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never give the Patriots their flowers ever.
You don't.
I mean, I spent 10 minutes this segment.
I mean, one time all year. I mean,
that's untrue.
That doesn't make up for 20 weeks.
Thank God there's a YouTube channel.
We're on 15 hours a day.
Oh, my God. This guy. This guy.
I hate to agree with him on this, but we ain't trying to get
you hear it in your house.
He's talking about it.
Cooper's on a plane or he'd be calling in right now.
Oh, J.K. Dobbins' practice window opened up.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Brady's practice window just opened up for the Patriots.
Yeah.
You don't need him.
Yeah.
Because the new version of him has shown up.
Oh,
it's the truth. Get used to it, pal.
Try to tell you guys.
While we're disgusting you, I might as well just take a second now to mention that the Dallas Cowboys are 0 for their last 30 in making NFC championship
games. There's no need to
And
even
Tank
bring
Lawrence
up.
Is now 1 for 1.
Like, why even bring
with Seattle?
Drake May has as many career playoff wins as Dak Prescott.
Yeah. You forgot about all the segments I was talking about the Patriots coming on strong all year long. And I have the receipts
every week
on something called the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel.
Yeah, but you didn't.
All right.
I just love how we got thrown into this.
All right, let's take a break. Phone calls to get us out of Dodge to tonight's national championship game right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Yeah. Hyundai Hope on Wheels, as you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. Hyundai Hope on Wheels is awesome. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom in California. Let's take his call right here. Line 6. Jay, thank you.
Rich, how you doing?
What's going on?
Well, before I do the autopsy on the Niners, I thought the Sean McDermott firing was totally unfair. I think he's a good coach, and I think Buffalo made a big mistake. So
we will find out, won't we? I mean, it's tough to replace, one would think. I have the numbers right here. It's tough to replace 8 playoff appearances, tying Marv Levy for the most in Bills franchise history. And between Marv Levy and Sean McDermott, there were bupkis. And he broke that streak with Tyrod Taylor, by the way, not Josh Allen. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You never know, Tom.
The NFL's cutthroat is the English Premier League. And if those who follow the English Premier League know what I'm talking about. All the injuries, I think, just caught up to us. But, you know, Kyle needs to really invest in some offensive linemen. And he won't do it. He just believes that he can just get by with average offensive linemen. And, you know, there just wasn't enough holes for McCaffrey this year. The average was down because he wasn't the problem. The problem was there wasn't enough holes. There wasn't enough holes to go through. And they weren't like before. So he has to get draft offensive linemen or two in this draft. I mean, coming up. It's just to do so, I think, would be malpractice, especially to Purdy, who's a terrific quarterback, in my view.
Well, Tom, I think what they needed to do in this past draft, and I think you saw it, is that they hit the defensive side of the ball significantly because that is what needed the most help. And I think that worked, certainly when they lost all their defenders of Pro Bowl and All-Pro note and still kept things afloat. And based on their cap situation and cap charges that they had to take, I think this year was actually a pleasant surprise and outstanding, and you should take heart in it. And I appreciate the call. That's Tom in California. Try to leave him a little bit happier than what we sounded. He sounded like an Alan Dallas version of California.
Didn't he? I heard that too.
You heard the Alan Dallas in it. You know, it's the only thing, he didn't call me Richard. You know, I honestly, Niners fans, this year, what better than it? They could have hoped, certainly. Then you lose Bosa, then you lose Warner, and you're still one and done the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Right,
that's got to give you some juice. Then they lose Kittle, and at the end of the day, they just lost too many people, and they were out of bullets. And then they were against a team that's just the Seahawks are a wagon, the Sea Wagons, right?
Sea Wagons.
They're the Sea Wagons right now, for sure. But at the end of the day, Niners fans, just take heart. This year was better than you could expect. And, you know, Lynch is a brilliant general manager, and Shanahan knows what they need. We'll see what happens in the draft. Let's go to Josh in Wisconsin. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Josh?
Good morning, guys. Well, good afternoon now.
Yep.
But I used to say good morning to the first time I talked to you. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Great show. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Just want to give a shout out to my Bears. Great season. We overachieved with house money. Beating the Packers twice in the way that we did was just so epically awesome. And they're still crying about it, and I love it. Hopefully Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams can grow and get better. The game yesterday, we had a chance to win. We beat ourselves with the mistakes. And I wish Johnson would have taken some field goals early.
Mm.
It doesn't seem like he learned from that 2023 NFC title game with the Lions. But I can't complain a whole lot.
Because no, you cannot. You
we
cannot.
We got our guys at the two most important spots. We have some things to fix and work on. But I feel great about this team for the first time in a long time.
And what's it feel like to be a Bears fan walking around Wisconsin and having Packers fans pissed at you rather than making fun of you, Josh? You know,
there is a lot of crybabies up here. they were saying for 2 weeks they were going to put Bell to ass and then got lost, and you couldn't find them. And then they were just it's funny. They were on the Rams bandwagon, and now today they're coming out the woodwork talking about how welcome to Cancun, this and all that. And it's weird because you had to pray for another team to beat the team you couldn't beat. So that's weird to me. But
ladies and gentlemen, Josh in Wisconsin being able to say it with his chest because of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Thanks for the call, Josh. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. The different dynamic there, huh? Hey, listen, and I'll just say it one more time. Packers fans, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. I understand you're maybe looking at the Ravens and the Bills and the Steelers moving on from their longtime head coaches and wish you had the gumption to do it as well. Matt LaFleur is a winner. And in this day and age, a play caller dialed into your young quarterback is exactly what all these other teams might be looking for. You have it already. I think I saw it on Diana Russini's Threads account, an unnamed general manager in the league saying that they're going to re-sign LaFleur. Letting him go would be a dumb move, and the Packers don't do dumb things. Your team does not do dumb things. Yep. Please. Understand it.
That must be nice.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Exactly. And that wraps up our Monday program. We're back to wrap it up on Disney Plus in a sec.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.